Welcome one and all to another day, another week here at The Damage Report, and it being Monday, it is, of course, a fantastic Monday with Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back. Exciting.
Glad to have you here.
To be here. John, why aren't you in studio? People are wondering.
I know. You know, I'm lazy, and you gotta get in the car, and the car needs gas occasionally, and then it runs out, but yeah. No, eventually... We will. Yeah, there's nothing I would like more than to be back in the studio. And every night we get an email about whether we're going to resume. And it's always no. Fingers crossed for tonight. I have high hopes.
And there's like a little possum in a hard hat with like a broken cable line. Like, ooh. Like, that's what I imagine.
I don't even think that possum's certified. But no. Anyway, we'll eventually get back. For now, though, we only have so many more weeks with Francesca for a bit. Do we have a rough idea? Is it 3 weeks? Is it 5 weeks? What do we got?
I would love to know. Wouldn't we all like to know? No, probably, yeah, early October. I'll chill for a bit. Okay. You know, six weeks, probably. Four to six, okay. If not more. you know, nothing going on in early November, is there?
No.
Chat, is there?
You won't miss anything big. Trump won't become Speaker of the House or anything while you're gone. But that like has a 35% chance of happening. Anyway, we'll get to that. Oh, before we launch into the rundown, though, I want to let everyone know that Francesca, you not only have your show, which is coming up tomorrow, but you were on a different show yesterday, huh? That's what I heard.
Oh, yeah. No big deal, John. Why? That doesn't even matter. I was on Eamon's show on MSNBC, but the real main event, that was like a panel. I'm on this show. This is the only panel, baby. That's the only one I care about. Okay. As well panel as tomorrow at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, the Bituation Room at Franny Fio on YouTube or Twitch. Be there.
No, I see. You say that this is the only one that matters, but then you give all these details about this other show that I don't care about. I just don't care. Anyway, with that, everyone, let me tell you why you should be psyched about this show. Everybody's going absolutely insane. Honestly, like we are surrounded by maniacs and we're going to be breaking it down. We also are surrounded by extreme weather events. We're going to be breaking that down. Puerto Rico has just been hit by a hurricane. We need to talk about that. We get concerns about renewable energy being expressed by some of the dumbest people on the planet. We'll be reviewing a recent rap video and more. So everyone buckle up. It's going to be fun. Hit the like button if you haven't already. And if you want to send us any comments, tweets or super chats or anything like that, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Francesca, ready to start the show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's jump into it then.
And I'm calling for the death penalty for drug dealers and human traffickers.
So that is Donald Trump in a speech, shots fired against Ron DeSantis, recent human trafficker. Donald Trump, who might be president in a few years, is saying that that should be a crime punishable by death. Of course, that's probably not the sort of human trafficking he was thinking of, although with how much they hate each other, maybe it was. But anyway, Ron DeSantis is facing increasing legal pressure and the possible threats of some sort of charges because of what he's been engaged with. A state lawmaker in Massachusetts has now requested a federal human trafficking probe over what DeSantis has been doing, that as of right now would not result in capital punishment, but who knows? Stay tuned. Immigration lawyers say that they're going to be seeking an injunction in federal court to stop the flight of migrants to cities around the country, alleging that the Republican governor had violated due process and the civil rights of the migrants flown from Texas to Massachusetts. One of the lawyers working for Lawyers for Civil Rights Boston says they were told, speaking of the migrants, you have a hearing in San Antonio, but don't worry, we'll take you to Boston. He said dozens of the migrants had told his team they had only been informed midair that they were going to land in Martha's Vineyard rather than Boston. And the organization, the LCR, said that they're calling upon Rachel Rollins, U.S. attorney, and the attorney general of Massachusetts to formally open criminal investigations. So, look, we have more details on this and updates because they've continued doing this throughout the week. I mean, they got what they wanted, not, you know, a better life situation for all of these actual humans that they're using as political pawns, not a solution to the problem or anything like that. But they did get some positive press on Tucker Carlson. And that, at the end of the day, is the only thing that all of this is for, Francesca. So I expect they're going to be ramping up the number of, I guess, internal deportations they're doing.
Right, which I love because just like everything that's been happening under the Trump administration, just with the MAGA right in general, the question on a lot of people's minds is like, can they do that? And I think it's amazing that we don't know in the year 2022 what we can and cannot do. Some would say that's a sign of a semi-weak democracy. I would say we're still figuring out the kinks. Maybe we don't have a lot of time left, but it is disquieting to be like, wait a minute, can they do that? And also, who was involved? Were there DHS officials falsifying records on behalf of these migrants? What the hell is actually going on? And it also points to the fact that, like, the Biden administration, the head of supposedly the DHS, right, Department of Homeland Security, doesn't know what's going on either. And the fact that they can do stunts like this or be roped into stunts like this, I'll say it again, I've said it a million times, immigration officials in this country are out of control. They've gone completely rogue. And then on the human trafficking thing, it's so juicy and perfect, right? Because this is, I know we're going to talk about Matt Gaetz in a little bit. This is a guy who voted against a human trafficking bill. He was the only person, I think, in Congress to do that. The other thing that makes sure you're going to have a lot of human trafficking, draconian border policies. That will ensure that absolutely there will be more money to the coyotes, you know? There's going to be more people found dead in the back of trucks. The more you clamp down on immigration, you're not stopping it. You're just ensuring people's death.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And look, none of that is news in general. You know, their terrible approach to the border and all that. But this specifically is somewhat new. It's certainly ramping up. I mean, literally thousands of people just being sent somewhere. Just, I don't want these things. You have them. You just have them. Like, and they'll say, well, you know, why should only the southern states deal with immigration? First of all, that is an entirely false narrative. Many, many people, migrants from other countries, come in through international airports, which are largely not located in just the South. And also, different parts of the country face different challenges. That's how it works. And so the Northeast, the Northwest have to approach certain things, maybe infrastructure, maybe weather, maybe extreme weather. I don't know. In different ways than other parts. You do still have to take it seriously, though. You can't just say, well, we're alone on this, I guess, and so screw those things. We're going to take them and ship them to Boston. They remain people, okay? They just do. And so to have multiple governors, like, it would be awful if it was an actual honest attempt to fix the problem or whatever. But when it's so transparently partisan on top of it, even worse, and to effectively traffic these people. Now, some of them agreed to go on a plane, but there's multiple levels of deception there. First of all, you're literally lying about where they're going. Second of all, I mean, of course, you literally can't spend Florida State money to do that, to send people from Texas to there. But then also, like, take a look at this, a picture, maybe some of you have seen this going around, these fake brochures promising 8 months cash assistance, food, job training and placement, help with housing and all that. So those are lies told to migrants to get them to go somewhere. When they show up, they're not at the place they were told they were going to go. They're literally just left to wander around and see what happens. And none of those resources are there. Like, how could this possibly stand up in court, Francesca? Like, this is so clear. I apologize, people. People are saying that my mic is loud. I honestly can't lower it anymore. I don't know what we're supposed to do. But anyway, Francesca.
You sound great.
Like, this can't stand.
No, yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I would like to see some swift action to prevent these kinds of things from happening. That is, I mean, and the sad reality to me is that the alternative that this country has whether it's Democrats or Republicans just want extra cruelty. They want extra death, like on top, you know, it's like this like 7-layer dip of death. And they're like, we need an eighth. That's the difference. I do think Democrats lack a policy on immigration. They lack a vision. And they have tried to overturn things like Title 42. It got caught up in the courts again, which has been preventing asylum seekers from being able to enter the country because of the pandemic. But it's been handout after handout after handout to the right on this issue in exchange for, please, can we at least, you know, get DACA, which, by the way, came out after tons of work from grassroots immigrant rights organizers. And even that is being threatened right as we speak. So it's like, I hate the stunt. And I want to know what you think, but I do think it's going to play well to a base that loves cruelty. To us, sure, it seems unconscionable, but I think it will work for them. The real thing for me is, like, it's not a border crisis. It's a general lack of immigration reform. All states. So where is, like, the positive vision that is led if we actually are like, well, we're, you know, the Democrats are super humane. We believe in humanity. How dare you? This is inhuman. Well, so is private detention centers, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So is border militarization. So is a bunch of things. So what are we doing actually to, like, put our money where our mouth is on that?
Yeah, look, I definitely agree. And we're going to turn to some of the political stuff from this in just a sec. But I do agree that it's going to play well. I mean, it's,
yeah,
Taylor, like, literally, like, this, they could go so much further. Like, honestly, like, I'm watching, you know, the most recent season of Handmaid's Tale, so we can get into that sort of stuff. But, like, they just want to see migrants being humiliated, harmed. They want to see them suffer. Like, right, like, families in cages, most rational people hated that. But lots of conservatives love seeing that, and they would love to see much more than that. And especially if they believe it's going to make libs look as racist as conservatives. That's one of the big goals of this. They thought that everyone in Martha's Vineyard would freak out and DC would freak out, and then everyone's equally racist. Now, the issue is that the fact that that didn't happen doesn't really matter, because it's Fox News that gets to decide what the audience hears about it. So yeah, they will just say, yeah, no, everyone on Martha's Vineyard freaked out. Based on what? What's the difference? They're literally never going to. If Sean Hannity says that they freaked out, and the news says that they didn't, the yep, right wing will literally never even see that news. And if they saw it, they wouldn't believe it. So what's the difference? You could do literally anything you want, because a media environment that has been entirely crafted from the very beginning to deliver for you and your side will just make up the facts to fit it.
Yep.
And so why wouldn't it work? Now, in terms of the political implications of it working, let's turn now to this second issue. Because obviously I was joking a little bit with the Trump calling for the execution, I suppose, although honestly, he does hate DeSantis. So if it would stop him from running, maybe he would call for it. But anyway, dramatic new reporting. The migrants being moved, being used as political tools, that's something that Greg Abbott and Ron DeSantis, and probably soon more Republican governors, are doing because they don't care about these people. They just care about the perception of them and their base and their political aspirations. Donald Trump is apparently freaking out behind closed doors about Ron DeSantis getting involved in this game. He's apparently been privately voicing his anger over DeSantis, especially in doing the thing with Martha's Vineyard. Trump is telling allies and confidants he's outraged that DeSantis seems to think he's allowed to steal the ex-president's mantle as both media star and as undocumented immigrant basher-in-chief.
Oh my God.
Trump has pointedly complained to some of his closest associates that DeSantis is attempting to take the national news cycle away from him. Well, you're not president right now. Why wouldn't he? He's a governor. You're literally nobody. He can do it if he wants. Trump has fumed over all the praise DeSantis' actions have been receiving, especially in conservative circles, and has privately accused DeSantis of doing this largely to generate a 2024 polling boost from himself among GOP voters. I love that detail. Like, he's privately declaring, I think DeSantis is just doing this because he wants to run for president. Yeah, you doink. Everybody knows that. Everybody who likes that he did it knows that. Everybody knows that this is all just a manufactured, artificial political thing. He's not trying to solve San Antonio's migration issue 50 migrants at a time. It's a stunt, yes. But Trump is like, he's got like a chart and like pieces of string connecting them all. I think this is partisan.
I love it. I love that also he's mad that the news cycle has moved away from him as he's bearing down like a million lawsuits right now, whether it's Georgia, whether it's in New York, the stolen documents. And he's like, why are you like, you should be lucky you have a day or 5 days. Take those days and like figure out what the hell your legal strategy is. I mean, obviously we know not much of one left, but like it's just amazing. Like the news wasn't positive, bro. You know that, right? You know there's all, we're just covering your crimes. But then I just love the Trump DeSantis like matchup, and I've been watching Cobra Kai because it's back, and it's just so it's Kreese versus what's his name. I'm sorry, I don't even remember.
I don't remember most of the names. I like the show. I haven't started the new season, but I don't remember the names.
It's basically, yeah, it's like the Kreese karate guy and then the, like the rich karate guy, the like his weird Vietnam vet buddy.
Silver something?
Silver. It's totally Kreese versus Silver.
Yeah.
They're just both Silver. Evil and like Kreese is mad at the younger one for like, you can get more money.
The weird thing in this metaphor is that Trump is rich like Silver, but his face is even more grizzled than Kreese. So it's a mixed metaphor a little bit. Terry Silver, thank you. Look.
Terry.
Anything that DeSantis does that's going to generate some publicity for him, especially that gets Fox News to talk positively about him. At the same time that Trump is in the news, like we're going to be in just a moment turning to an update on the Mar-a-Lago thing. And like no matter how bad the news is, it can't be that bad for Trump because his base is inoculated against reason. But he would probably prefer that Fox News was talking about him for, you know, shipping migrants to Nova Scotia rather than for stealing classified documents. Like, there's still comparatively good news. And honestly, we're now moving. We're getting so close to a period where one of, I think, the most fascinating and important questions that is yet to be answered is, what is going to happen between them? Is Trump going to come out swinging? And DeSantis thinks, you know what? I can wait 4 more years. Trump will already have passed away by then and I could run. Or is he going to come out and Trump is going to demolish him, which will be hilarious. And we can all watch along for maybe 2 debates before Ron DeSantis literally pees himself on stage and then goes back to Florida. Or will it be possible that people do want to move on and that DeSantis can stand up to him? I can't imagine it. I can't imagine him standing up to Trump, but if he is, that's maybe the most interesting outcome of all. And then of course there's the substantive political implications of all this, but I am just waiting to find out how this is going to go because so much of the 2024 race is really going to come down to one of those three options.
DeSantis would never go after Trump. He's too much of a coward.
He's going to have to.
No.
If he wants to win.
No. He's going to make a very like gentle, handholdy, remind, like sort of like it's time to pass the torch and like, thank you, Donald Trump. And you've done so much. However, I believe I can carry our movement. Like that's what it'll be. And it won't work because of that. But it'll also still piss off Donald Trump. So it'll be the worst of both worlds. But I think that Republican leadership want DeSantis.
I think so. But they have to, DeSantis has to do it. Like, you can want this guy to slay the dragon, but at some point, he's got to pick up the sword. And honestly, I want to read you, this guy, Krang T. Nelson on Twitter, just has, it really cuts to the core of this. He had a tweet that says, DeSantis is going to pull stunt after stunt between now and the 2024 primaries in a desperate attempt to raise his profile amongst the nation's dumbest and meanest conservatives, then get absolutely wiped off the map the moment Trump calls him Miss Florida at one of the debates. Like, that's a joke. That literally might be all it, like literally he will stand next to him.
Yeah.
He'll call him Miss Florida. DeSantis will like make a face at the camera and that'll be it. Like there
that's what I'm saying. He'll have to take it. Like, I don't think he can go directly at Trump because he needs his base, but that's exactly right. That's what will happen.
But he can't win if he doesn't go after him. First of all, he has to take that base. Like one of them gets it. One of them doesn't. And you can't get that without attacking, and he's going to be attacking you. So if you don't attack back, you're going to look so weak. He's in a tough position, you know, because of his deep, deep seated weakness. But yeah, I can't wait to see. I just want to know. I just want to watch this debate.
Me too.
I'm so excited for the primaries. I want 10 progressives to run. I'm just so excited. Can we get to next year?
I definitely want that.
Anyway. Okay, with that, why don't we turn to a little bit of the updates that we have. We actually have, that's a question that's yet to be answered. We have a potential answer to a question we've had over the past 2 weeks, though. Let's turn to that now. We're learning a little bit more about the FBI's raid in Mar-a-Lago and why it was that the Trump campaign wanted Raymond Deary to be the special master. This guy that everyone seems to respect, why would they want him? Well, we've got an idea now. But first, I gotta go to this truth that Trump sent out, because Trump has returned to Mar-a-Lago finally, and he's not liking what he found there, saying, "Arrived in Florida last night and had a long and detailed chance to check out the scene of yet another government, in quotes, crime." You think it's a crime? Why'd you put it in quotes? I don't understand. "The FBI's raid and break into my home, Mar-a-Lago. I guess they don't think there's a Fourth Amendment anymore, and to them, there isn't. In any event, after what they have done, the place will never be the same. It was ransacked and in far different condition than the way I left it." This is like how you explain away when, like, you left the place a mess before you went on vacation. You just hope that someone breaks in, then you just say, "That's it." "Many agents, and they didn't even take off their shoes in my bedroom. Nice."
Just like me when I am doing it. Not a shoe off guy.
Pants off. Heads on.
Pants around ink. I'm sorry.
Maybe this is where I'm exposing myself. Does everyone else always have their shoes off in their bedroom? Like, why can't you have your shoes on? You're walking around your house. The bedroom's part of the house. You can have your shoes on. Why would that be so weird?
It depends on who you ask. You know, being Chinese, the idea is shoes always off, but slippers on, never barefoot, which is sort of like seen as kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, white chick behavior. You know what I mean? That being said, I am half white. So like, I'm kind of like shoes off. And I sometimes walk around with my feet skis. No socks, because socks are too slippery. And, you know,
then you look at the bottom dangerously.
And you look at the bottom of your feet and you're like,
by the way,
mop.
That's true. I am looking at the comments and I like to think that I have an idea of what our audience is like. This is among the most shoes off in the house group of people I've ever seen in my life. Jeez. Okay. Well, I'm wearing my shoes right now and I'm in my house, so I'm a little bit worried. Don't leave. Keep watching. But anyway. So yeah, they wrecked the place. Like they went through your desk. Yes, that's probably annoying. I would love it if they would clean up after doing these sorts of things. And not just for billionaires. How about for regular people too? How about advocating for that? But anyway, much more importantly, what about Raymond Deary? Why did they choose him? And bearing in mind that the DOJ agreed to it. They were like, the Trump choice is our choice. That's been fascinating. Here is maybe why. Lawyers and advisors to Trump believe Deary's role in the secretive court that approved controversial warrants used to surveil former Trump campaign aide Carter Page back in 2016-2017 made Deary a deep skeptic of the FBI. Now, bearing in mind, Deary can't be reached for comment. He has not made any public comments to suggest that the Trump's team's thinking is more than a hope or a theory, and he will be reviewing the documents themselves for privilege, not reviewing representations about the documents by the FBI. Representative for the U.S. District Court for Eastern District of New York, which is where Deary served, didn't respond to questions about his views on the FBI. A spokesperson for Trump did not respond to request for comment, but they seem to think that maybe there's a chance that this guy, who must have been in his late 50s, at least, if not 60s, when he approved these things, had his view of the FBI fundamentally changed as a result of the experience, and that might give them the edge. Maybe that's what they believe. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're wrong. Or maybe, you know, if they need to choose someone that the DOJ is going to support, this is the best edge they're going to get. I don't know. What do you think, Francesca?
I mean, it's bizarre, right? It's basically like, this guy was sort of a career, admin person at like working with FISA, right? These courts, and was like, yeah, it's all good if we're going after like activists or civilians and whatever. But Carter Page, he was a Trumper and was like, I take great offense, you know, like so. And I think that, look, they were there for 4 years. if there were Trumpers within these institutions that they hadn't actually put in themselves, they identified them, they elevated them, they put the folks who were not loyalists, you know, in the whatever, the basement shift or whatever it was. So, like, I assume that they know that he was a loyalist, that he is a Trumper, which is scary. And it is just funny to me that he was like, he's been working on this for 20 years. And Carter Page, that guy's a man of honor, isn't he? I feel like he was, I mean, like, I'm a comic, but wasn't he like a former comic, like a traveler?
Or was remember.
That the other dude? There's so many random characters. We need like a guess who game.
Yeah. By the way, appreciate the weirdos that you have in politics, because you never know when they might move on and they're not a part of the cast anymore. Carter Page. Anyway, we'll see. I mean, maybe that's the look. If 2 months from now, 3 months from now, we get the results of Raymond Deary's analysis of the over 11,000 documents, and if his conclusions are as deranged as the judges have been so far, this might be an early pre-answer to the question of why. Mm-hmm. By that point, we might have forgotten about this. So somebody out there, you remember to remind us when that happens, because it'll help us explain it. Anyway, with that said, we do have to go to our break. We come back, devastating weather news, entire communities being wiped out, and more insanity after this. Okay, everybody. Man, this hour is passing by fast. We should probably jump right into this.
A lot of my friends who are down here as well for tax purposes, they bounce. They're back at their second homes. They're gone.
And that right there, ladies and gentlemen, is my problem. This is a topic I've been very quiet about for a long time, but this video was the confirmation I needed to hear. Folks will come here to live in Puerto Rico, live la vida loca, and live for their wallet's best interest. In times like these, right now, during a hurricane, they leave. And then they wonder why a lot of people give them shit for it. Because they are living here for their own benefit. And when times are not beneficial to them, they fly like a flock of pigeons. I live here. I love here. Because I am here. Everybody wants to live in Puerto Rico until it's time to live in Puerto Rico. For those who are living here with tax purposes, and you took a quick flight back home, don't get mad when you hear, go home. Stay home.
I love that video because as Puerto Rico is still just reeling from being hit by Hurricane Fiona, like we know what's been happening over the past few years, the past decade. We're just 5 years out from Hurricane Maria, and you have these people who have, they as individuals, corporations, have effectively created the society they want there that is not resilient in the way it needs to be for the actual people who live there, and then they can just leave. As soon as they want, when a hurricane's coming in, they know they should leave because, again, the resiliency isn't there. The money isn't going to be there. The recovery is going to be artificially made slow by the choices made by corporations and their control over the government. And they can just flee. They can just run, leaving people in terrible situations. And it is a terrible situation right now. Nearly 1.5 million utility customers don't have power as of this morning. 196,000 people don't have potable water. Over 1,000 evacuees have been moved to storm shelters, and 1 in 5 cell phone towers inoperable. And so, by the way, since it has hit Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic has now been hit. The damage there has been described as catastrophic. And there has been some attention on this. Biden is declaring an emergency, and that's good. We'll see about the resources to follow it. But I don't know, Francesca, I feel like it's so important to place the disaster right now and what the recovery is going to look like in the context of the choices that have been made. The choices made for the people of Puerto Rico, not made by the people of Puerto Rico.
Absolutely. And I love that video as well. I think that's excellent, pointing out the discrepancy in who can leave and also who has like a generator. Obviously, big hotels or luxury condos and places that have been displacing and gentrifying Puerto Rico, even in the wake of things like Maria, right? Hurricane Maria. And, you know, this is all Naomi Klein's disaster capitalism. You see it in Puerto Rico times 10 in terms of when there's a big disaster. What happens in the wake? Do we fix infrastructure? Is the new electrical company, Luma, are they doing a bang-up job? No. We'll see how quickly they get power back on. Anything's better, I assume, than the months it took for the old energy company to get back online. But, like, you know, then what happens is that people who have money come in, they're like, they've got their generators, they've got their solar energy. And that's the other thing that, like, that Klein, I'm going to just shout her out again, that Naomi Klein talks about, is how important it is to understand that actual solutions to climate catastrophe when it comes to, like, what we can do, yes, alternative energy, but more specifically, these micro grids, like decentralized energy, so that it's not all running through one place, i.e. one corporation that is gouging the people of Puerto Rico, to say nothing of the rest of, you know, the United States in terms of, you know, Texas, right, was paying, remember how they were paying exorbitant prices for their electricity when it was also out during that winter storm. When you democratize energy, when you have microgrids, they are more resilient to things like extreme weather, but then they're also far cheaper and more reliable. It's a win-win for everyone, except if you want to make money, then there's nothing in it for you. So we're not going to get it.
Yeah, and look, and especially in a place that doesn't have unlimited resources, when there are scarce resources, you can choose them. You can choose to use them in terms of your infrastructure in a few different ways. You can set up services and infrastructure to benefit tourists, the wealthy, those sorts of things, knowing that if it fails, they'll be able to get out and they'll be perfectly fine. Or you can actually solve some of the systemic problems that you're talking about right there. The choice appears to have been made, and now when a hurricane hits, you see the effects of it. So that's sort of what we're dealing with right now. And by the way, literally as we're live, I'm trying to find updates on what's going on in the Dominican Republic. We haven't seen deaths being reported. The governor is saying that it's absolutely catastrophic, the damage that has already been done. By the way, lots of rain is still expected in Puerto Rico, literally talking about 15 to 30 inches of rain in some areas. So we'll see. Obviously, the news is lagging the situation on the ground a little bit, but just devastating to see this happening again just 5 years after, you know, Maria, which was absolutely terrible. And hopefully the government response will be a little bit more compassionate and come with a little bit more resources than just one doofus throwing paper towels at a crowd of people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, with that said, we're going to move to dark stuff. Let's jump into this video whenever we're ready.
Fake news is all you get. And they are truly the enemy of the people. We are a nation where free speech is no longer allowed, where crime is rampant like never before, where the economy has been collapsing, where more people died of COVID in 2021 than in 2020.
So for our Monday Menace this week, we have Donald Trump in his rally over the weekend, leading whatever that group was. You can call it a rally, you can call it a cult, you can call it whatever you want. When you have this guy painting this apocalyptic vision of the country and getting all of them to raise one arm in the air towards him while weird music, that music was not added in post. I want to be very clear about that. And by the way, the entire speech did not have music. They had a portion of his speech that they decided to play music. And the fact that there was music is not nearly as interesting and perhaps threatening as what music they chose, which we'll turn to in just a sec. Now, let's go back to this first photo, and you'll see that some people just put up their arms. Some people were very excited to be able to finally be in a group of people who were raising one arm diagonally into the sky for the first time. Mm-hmm. Some were holding up a finger. Some were doing the Q hand signal. Some were doing the okay hand signal. You know, it's a melting pot, really, of conspiracy theories and white supremacy. It's all very fun. A lot of people in the media are rightly weirded out by this, although I do want to add a bit of context. This part of it is not new for Donald Trump. Take a look at this next graphic. Trump asked a crowd to raise hands and pledge to vote for him. This was back in 2016, and they were doing all of the arms raised. And by the way, the comparisons to Germany or whatever, those were made back in 2016 as well. So that is not new, although it's still just as weird as it was 6 years ago. Asking everyone in the crowd to raise a hand is a choice. But anyway, the music, though, we do need to talk about. The Daily Beast, Will Summer, says the song is titled WWG1WGA after the QAnon slogan, and it does appear to be a song that is very popular amongst the QAnon crowd. And when you add to the fact that Trump recently truthed this just QAnon meme, straight up QAnon meme, literally with a Q on his chest, using their song, that is not like a wink and a nod to the movement. That is now shrouding yourself, cloaking yourself in all of the trappings of one of the most out of control conspiracy theories that has already resulted in multiple acts of mass violence. To do that on the rally stage as the prelude to running for president again, I think that tells us a lot about what his candidacy is going to be like, Francesca.
I think he used House of Dragons, Lord of the Rings font also in there, in that graphic, which I'm stop saying truth. Okay. It's red tweeted. Let's it.
Red tweeted. Okay. I like it.
I just, but I have to, he bleated. Yeah, that's great. Bleat is great. This is not the first time he used music. On the Bituation Room, we covered his Pennsylvania rally. He also, it's like 5 minutes of music, and it sounds kind of heroic, and you're supposed to inspire people, but he's like, everyone's dying. Nobody loves you, you know, and you're just like, it's like the worst, rally speech. But and it's very scary. And I got to say, like, this is something that like a lot of news doesn't really cover. Like, you know, a lot of mainstream outlets will, they'll cover the weird hand signal. They'll cover the where we go one, we go all like music score. But just last week, a father killed, a man killed his wife and nearly killed his child because he had fallen down a QAnon rabbit hole. This was a year after we did this story. A man killed his two children because he believed they were satanic or they were demons because he followed the QAnon conspiracy theory. To say nothing of, I don't know how the people in Dallas are under that bridge drinking whatever, you know, sort of jungle juice they created from, you know, the black non-adrenochrome. I don't know. Like, I don't know how those people are who waited for JFK Jr. Like, the whole thing is, I forgot if it was Jr. or Senior. The point is.
Jr. This, who, by the way, he was there. The guy they think is JFK Jr. was at the rally, and there was just Q stuff everywhere. Like, all over the place.
No. It's terrifying. It's like, it's something we absolutely have to take seriously, and we need to make sure that the right cannot escape the fact that this cult, that their sort of obsession with groomers, obsession with the trans community, obsession with the LGBTQ+ community, cannot hold a candle to the actual crimes against children that the far right is doing as we speak, vis-a-vis their allegiance to QAnon.
Yep. The only thing I would add is there was also the guy at the Dairy Queen who brought a gun and talked about killing all the libs and the Dems because of QAnon. Again, like, he's making this choice in the immediate aftermath of multiple acts of political violence. That is a choice that's being made. Now let's turn to something even crazier. I want to give you a little bit of a preview of what the 2024 campaign is going to be like for president. They will say stuff that makes no sense, is not true, is demonstrably untrue, and you're just going to have to accept that. Take a look at a couple examples from Trump's rally, starting with this.
The unhinged persecution of me and my staff, and they go into people that know me and they threaten them with jail time. Unless you say something bad about Trump, they're threatening them. These people are sick. They're sick. They go in and they take good people and they say, you're going to jail for 10 years. You're going to jail for 5 years. Unless you say something bad about Trump, in which case you won't have to go to jail.
Okay, so you get the idea that Trump is squirming a little bit from the legal challenges he's facing. If he feels like he needs to go and tell his audience, don't believe anything you hear from people that know me, that have worked with me, that I've said are awesome in the past. They're all lying because the FBI told them they need to be meanies or something. It's insane, and they all accepted it. Also, I love the Newsmax hat promo that slides up. It's just constant grift. Absolute nonsense grift. But anyway, you've got the FBI part of it, and then you've got the rewriting of history in real time. Take a look at this. You might learn something about his first term.
And we built hundreds of miles of border wall despite 2.5 years of Democrat-inspired lawsuits. I won all of the lawsuits. We had more than 11. and completely finished our original border wall plan. It was all done. And then we said, let's add 200 miles more. And we had that almost finished. And then we had the rigged election. And in 3 weeks, it would have been finished. And they said, we're not going to finish it. And that's when I realized there's something wrong when they didn't want to finish the border wall.
Okay, there's so many lies in there that we can't actually catalog all of them. But the idea that he completed his wall, like the wall that he wanted was done, he completed it. And then they decided to add 200 miles, and they only needed a couple more weeks to finish it. So that's basically all done. Well, so then why are you guys freaking out the border so much about the border? Like that right. It's unsecured. Wait, we got the wall. Apparently, you succeeded. See, like he's caught between a rock and his own desperate need for affection. He has to say that he made the wall because he wants you to like him and believe that he's successful. But at the same time, Biden's failing on the border because there is no wall. We need wall. But wait, you built the wall. You just said that you built the wall. So which is it? And of course, the answer is it's both. It's whichever it needs to be in any particular second for a MAGA head. He's succeeded by building the wall. Also, there's no wall and we need him to get wall. This is what it's going to be like, Francesca.
The sad truth is he did build some of the wall. And Joe Biden is continuing to build that wall instead of tearing it the F down like he should be doing. So, again, this is it. We're so bankrupt when it comes to ideas for obvious ideas for how to deal with immigration reform. So it's kind of just like, again, I don't even know. The wall is just such a... As much as we want to obsess about it, it's like, well, let's obsess about the stuff that was actually built and tear that stuff down. Yes. If we truly don't agree with it, because Trump is right. He did build some of the wall. But no, not it was when we're about to put the final piece. And then just like a Lego set, your little sister comes in and ruins the whole thing. Wait, that was just me.
How much could possibly be left to complete if it would have only taken 3 weeks? But anyway, yes, The Intercept has some good reporting on the current status of the wall. We're going to be talking about that tomorrow on the show. Oh, nice. But for now, though, we do have to go to our second break. When we come back, Matt Gaetz, a little revelation about his legal back and forth. We have all that and more for you after this. Anyway, with that, let's jump into one more story. While we are eagerly awaiting what's going to happen with Matt Gaetz and the human trafficking investigation, we have gotten one little tidbit, information about what he was worried about, which is apparently that this might go somewhere. He apparently told a former White House aide under Trump that he was seeking a preemptive pardon from Trump regarding an investigation in which he's a target. Now, this is part of testimony that has now been given to the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. It's sort of collateral damage. Francesca, I can't imagine this is going to be super relevant to January 6th, but it was caught up in it. I mean, I think Matt Gaetz would have happily supported the legislative side of the insurrection even without the potential benefit of getting a pardon. So I don't think that would be needed to get his support. But Johnny McEntee is the aide that provided this information, told the committee that Gaetz told him, quote, he did not do anything wrong, but they're trying to make his life hell. And you know, if the president could give him a pardon, that would be great. So he's saying there, I'm not saying I did it in asking for the pardon. I just want the investigation to go away, which is plausible.
Yeah, you're playing Monopoly. And you're like, ooh, I like this get out of jail free card. I'm not in jail yet, but I might be. That's the only way that it works in that game. Otherwise, you definitely did something. And we all have known that you've done something. And I think it's funny because you look at all the people that Trump pardoned. It's just white-collar crime after white-collar crime that you could only imagine. And he's like, you know, the sex offenders will be there for my second term. You know, like, he's, like, got a list. You know, first it's, like, people who helped him, then random white-collar criminals who also just like him, and then sex offenders will be next. You know, if for some reason the 17-year-old brought across state borders were like going to a Trump rally, then Trump would have been like, okay. But if it was just, he was like, it was for you and I wasn't even invited, then no, you don't get a pardon. But it's,
yeah.
It, it's just, ugh, it's disgusting. By the way, we're waiting for Joel Greenberg, his homie in crime, who was sent, who was charged with convicted of six federal crimes related to this, including child sex trafficking. He's going to be sentenced in December, so we will see where all this goes.
We will see. That is true. And look, I will keep an open mind. I do have to say at this point, while this seems a little bit suspicious, I would say more politically unwise, like getting the pardon makes it pretty easy for your political opponents to use that for the rest of your life, saying he was pardoned for the sex trafficking allegations that were against him. That sounds really bad. Rather than, look, I'm sure the legal, let's say he's innocent. If the legal process goes on, that can be really annoying. I get that. But at least then you can be proven to have not done it. If you just end the investigation, everyone who thinks you did it is just going to keep thinking that you did it.
Yeah, but anyway, the right has long since not cared about that, right?
Yeah, I know the right doesn't care, but it's still something that could be thrown at you. But I will say, so Joel Greenberg has been providing investigators with information. It was since the end of 2020. So I have to say, at this point, I'm assuming that either he didn't do it, which seems impossible because we have the receipts, or they just feel they can't prove it.
Yeah.
Because if he's been providing info since 2020, I get that it's been the pandemic and people get like busy or whatever. Either you've got it or you've got it. It's been 2 years at this point, close to 2 years. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an investigator. And I'm not saying that it's impossible that it could actually take that time, especially with him being a congressman. Maybe you'd want to like really have all your ducks in a row. But it's been a long time without much coming out. And so I feel like if they don't have it, though, they got to wrap it up. They got to like put out a report or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There must be some sort of Floridian version of Robert Mueller who's like, you know, it's all there. But, you know, he is a sitting congressperson, so we can't do anything.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe that's what it is, or, you know, because he doesn't have the sort of power and prestige of a former president. Maybe they just don't have good enough evidence, or I don't know, maybe some of the witnesses didn't want to cooperate. I would like to know, but we might never know.
Or maybe Greenberg is basically saying it was all me. You know what I mean? That could also be happening.
It didn't seem like it based on early stuff, but it is possible.
Right.
Oh, by the way, he didn't get the pardon, in case that wasn't clear. Anyway, with all that said, that's all the time we have for our podcast and for the linear platforms. But if you're on other platforms, we've got way more to talk about in the aftermath, including Marjorie Greene's thoughts on birds after this. Welcome back to the aftermath, everyone, with me, John Adirola, and Francesca. Francesca, thank you as always for being here.
No prep.
Before we jump into our news, of which we have just only the most amazing things, including a musical performance. That'll be a fun little interlude for us. Ramona the Dragon's been here for 7 months on Twitch. Says, can I get a shout out, please, to my cats, Lyra, Flora, Wilson, and Lucifer, please? They won't give an S, but still be cool. Much love from UK. Consider them shouted out.
Lyra, Flora, something, Lucifer.
Lucifer.
Lucifer's name is Ramona.
I noticed, yeah. Rara Bear Dragon's been here for 2 months as longtime viewer, noob subscriber. Well, thank you for both. Constrained Agency's been here for 15 months. Thank you for being here. Let's see. Miss Blue from Lower Sioux says, regarding the immigrant story last week, Indigenous people were relocated from reservations to cities by the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Yeah, so important that people understand the history that this is sort of, you know, following up from. Mm-hmm. Nov 1775 Jim says, when we go one, we go all bat crap crazy. They apparently did already. Billy Shee Taylor says, hey, Billy says, my roommate wears shoes inside and I don't. All the dirt in the carpet is in front of his room where the carpet is black. Take off your shoes, John. I keep it clean in here. Okay, I do. Anyway, Riotonite Dragon has been here for 3 months, says Sprite or 7-Up. The only other option is death. 7-Up?
Ew.
They're similar, but I mean, I don't drink either normally.
I don't either, but Sprite, it's the Coca-Cola company. There's more bubbles and less sugar, or there's more bubbles to account for the sugar. There's just more bubbles.
Being more sugary. I don't know. We'll do a poll.
More bubbles.
Anyway, with all that said, let's jump into some... hit the like button if you haven't already, or if you're joining us for the aftermath. And with that, let's jump into this first video.
Now, let's talk about some other things that happened with the Green New Deal. I mean, this is going to be a future we're looking at where many bird species begin to go extinct. You want to know why? Because of all the wind turbines that are being littered across America. You guys have plenty of them here in Texas. That didn't work out so well in the last ice storm, did it? No.
Okay, there's a lot of misinformation there. First of all, no, it did not fail at outsized rates compared to the non-renewable energy, which she knows failed. She knows that Texas did nothing to weatherize it and is not going to, no matter how many times it fails. So that's just a fun little bit of misinformation and demonizing renewable energy. But we'll focus on the birds, because this is something I would consider it one of the hits for Donald Trump to talk about the windmills killing all of the birds. And I've never really believed that he believed it. I think that he's opposed to it because he thinks he's supposed to be. Conservatives are supposed to hate renewable energy for some reason that makes no sense to me. But I think I can almost believe that she thinks that these are just massive chainsaws slicing through bird populations around the country. There are a million things that kill birds. Windmills are never going to be a significant part of that. Even if we, as we need to, get 10, 100, 1,000 times as much capacity as we have right now. But this sort of thing seems to work, Francesca. She throws out a dumb thing like that, a piece of misinformation, half-remembered and poorly explained, and it will get a bunch of people there who might benefit. Their communities might benefit from renewable energy to think, yeah, we shouldn't have that because birds or something.
Yeah, I love the right when it comes to climate change. Just like, you know, the windmills kill all these birds. Anyway, let's keep on choking this pelican with oil. Help me. You get its legs and you're just like, they do not care. And it's amazing to me because, again, if we were the ones concerned about birds, like if we were talking about oil spills and we're talking about birds, they'd be like, oh, you little snowflake, you little precious little bro, you and your little precious little bird friends. You know, 100%. Obviously, birds are big leftists. We know this ever since that bird landed on Bernie Sanders' podium like an act of God. And we still decided to not make him president. Anyway, I digress.
I know. We ignored what Gaia was telling us. You're right with the oil. Also, by the way, you know what birds love? Choking clouds of fumes and pollution. That's what they love. They love the air being literal poison.
It's more fun to fly. It's just the flying is a whole different experience.
Exactly. With the updrafts from the coal mines and stuff. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. And I would just remind you, like, especially for people who might be a little bit new to politics, there are reasons that certain values and certain policy preferences sort of go together, why they're grouped together. Why do ideologies exist? Why do we not all just have random assortments of everything where your position on guns and whatever, abortion, have nothing to do with each other? There are reasons some of these are attached. Some of them, though, they're just constructs of political parties and individuals being influenced by money. Conservation is supposedly historically a part of the right of being a conservative. They're 100% against that. Not being beholden to foreign producers of fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Supposedly they would love that. And yet in this case, they don't want us to produce our own renewable energy. All of this is just a construct. They believe, well, I guess the environmentalists go for the Democrats and we get money from the coal companies and the oil companies. So that's it. Screw the values. Screw my ideology. I now hate renewable energy. It makes no sense except for the obvious financial sense that it makes.
Such a good point.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. You know what? We've got another video of her. Maybe we'll play it tomorrow or something. I don't want to hear her talk again. So with that, why don't we move ahead to our F block? We're going to mix it up and have a little musical interlude. Jump into it.
District 12, listen up right here. There's a new name on the ballot for the Senate this year. My name is Linda Paulson, Republican and awesome. Love God and family and the Constitution. I tried to get another conservative to run. Nobody could do it, so I'm getting it done.
Yes.
Okay, so that's Linda Paulson, if you didn't catch that from the lyrics. Utah Republican running for state Senate. And Yeah, it's not good, but and by the way, once we get to the actual substance, I have a feeling she probably has some horrendous positions. But Francesca, what did you make of that? How does that affect? This is now the only fact you know about her is that she made that song. How does that influence what you think about Linda
Paulson? I'm Linda Paulson, and I want to give you a hug. By the way, all rappers are thugs. Doopa deepa dee ida dee. Like, this is what I love about the right. First of all, adorable, great work. But ultimately, peel back that veneer, and she literally probably is like, Black Lives Matter wants to kill your child, you know? Whatever.
Yeah, I'm Linda Paulson, and I'm here to say men should control our bodies in a major way.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, but A for effort, and at least it's different, you know? If she's not busting into some abandoned home hunting for rhinos, there are no guns. She's not shooting a Dominion copier or voting machine, so that's good.
And she did a nice spin. I don't know how comfortable like I would be trying to like really nail a spin and come out of it still singing. So
what about wearing that scarf? You can't get away with that scarf, John.
No, I'd never be able to pull it off. Okay, that said, we do have more of this, so let's jump into a little bit more of the rap.
I'm pro-religious freedom, pro-life, pro-police, the right to bear arms and the right to free speech. I want less government control and regulation, want to stop and expose all political corruption. Where's integrity, morality, accountability? Government programs should lead to self-sufficiency and support traditional family as the fundamental unit of society. But in schools, they're pushing for new beliefs. And just to clarify this, because there's some who can't define this, as a female adult, I know what a woman is. I love this country. It's a blessing to be free, but freedom comes with responsibility. The Constitution needs to be protected, not changed or disregarded, but resurrected. If you share my values, if you like what I stand for, then give me your vote on the 8th of November. District 12 needs a choice. Let me be your voice, Linda Paulson. Linda Paulson for Senate.
Yeah, so no, she's not going to get my vote, mostly because there was a very haphazard approach to whether things needed to rhyme or not. Yep. Like sometimes, like, well, it would be really hard to rhyme this, so I'm just going to go with whatever I wanted to say. But mainly, you started to get a sense of who she actually was in that. So, wants freedom of speech, wants small government, and I definitely want the government to stop all them gay kids. I definitely want them to take every book that I have a little problem with and ban it, make it so no one can read. I want a small government that respects free speech and bans this ever-lengthening list of books that I think are evil. Yeah, the rap is cute, Francesca, but when you get to the actual values, she's Marjorie Greene. Lauren Boebert, it's the same thing.
I have a problem with men in glitter and kids who go pee-pee in a litter. A doop, boop, doop, deep, ba de de de. She's just, it's all... Oh, God. And also, there was a very obvious, like, you should have rhymed that with vagina line. And I can't forgive it. Just like, but I know what a woman is. Just like, but I know a vagina. Like, I think that, can I say that?
It's too late if you can't. Anyway, two more points for me. One, if anyone has seen Dorf on Golf, this had a very strong Dorf on Golf feel to the rap. Also, why is it that when people who don't like rap or listen to rap decide they need to rap, like, it's never like a parody of recent rap? It's like they have this idea of what it was, I guess, in the late 70s or early 80s, and that's always what they're mimicking. Like, there's been decades of different types of rap, but they always are here to say, you know?
This is a 13-year-old who's got a keyboard, grandma, and it's like, here we go, dunk. Dunk, dunk, dunk. That's what it was. That is a straight up Casio setting on a keyboard. We've all heard it before. These are, you know, look, they're trying to look. You get a black elf, and now you get Linda Paulson trying to rap.
No, she actually
both ways.
She would have just been perfectly happy staying at home retired, and then she saw that damn Black Mermaid.
Yep.
And she was like, well, that's it.
I'm doing rap.
Going to the Capitol. She hasn't shot anyone, as far as we know. And by the way, I do agree. I like less guns being fired in political ads. So thank you for that, Linda Paulson. Anyway, okay, with that said, we're making good time. I think we're going to get through everything. I'm going to read just a couple comments. George Krakowski says in a super chat, Paulson was an old lady that swallowed a fly. I don't know why she swallowed that fly. I guess she'll die. No, don't. Even in old-timey rhymes, that's not even hinted it. Thank you for the super chat. Ian Sutherland says, birds aren't real. The community.
And yes. They are out there. Yes.
Bushido Bull has been here for 24 months. Thank you. Jay Dragon says, I wear shoes because I stub my toes without them on. 100%. Mm. They are armor, effectively, and I will respect them. Okay, next TYT River says, part of the wall is sliding into a river. Well, they're going to have to rebuild that part then. Nomadic Dragon says, it says 7 months. It's been 10. Anyhow, I just moved to Syracuse, New York. Well, that's a benefit for Syracuse. Nice. Okay, with that, let's jump to more serious matters. When there was a bomb threat called into the Boston Children's Hospital, it didn't take a genius to figure out what it was. It was sort of the natural conclusion of a misinformation harassment campaign that had been waged by people like libs of TikTok and right-wing commentators. So it wasn't surprising, but many immediately leaped out to tell you, that's not what it is. Not that. Don't believe it. We're not responsible. People like Matt Walsh, who were demonizing that specific hospital, saying, I would like to know what false alarm means exactly. Police are being coy about it. Plenty of reason to wonder whether false alarm really means a leftist hoax. Certainly lots of precedent for that. So they demonize spreading misinformation about supposedly what sort of trans-related medical procedures are being done there. Just blatantly lying and demonizing this individual establishment. A bomb threat is called in, and they immediately say, oh, you know who's responsible? The leftists. Well, wouldn't that be convenient? He went on to say in one of his broadcasts, the first question you should ask yourself is, who benefits from this? Does the right benefit from a bomb threat to Boston Children's? Do I benefit? Does the libs of TikTok benefit? Obviously not. The left reaps all the benefits here because they can use this to deplatform or try to deplatform people like myself, which is exactly what they did and have been doing. So, I don't know. That's what we have some dots there. Can we connect them? So first of all, whether the right actually benefits from the bomb threat is literally irrelevant. You benefit by the demonizing. You benefit by giving your community the red meat, giving them something to hate. If they then go off and bomb something or shoot someone, I don't think you care at all about that. You're fine with it. I don't think that's the point for you. It's the demonizing and the distracting. It's a necessary consequence of your chosen political strategy, Matt Walsh. And the bomb threat was called in. And what do you know? Not a leftist hoax. So a woman has been arrested for it. By the way, when the announcement of the arrest was made, this is all Walsh had to say. He did a whole monologue about how it was a leftist hoax. When he finds out someone has been arrested, he just tweeted out, good news, glad they caught the person. Will he be changing the way that he talks about these issues going forward? Of course not, because again, he's fine with bomb threats. He'd be fine with the bombing. He doesn't care at all. This is a useful tool to keep right-wingers freaked out constantly. So right-wingers will stay in power, taxes will stay low, they'll give more tax cuts to rich people. That's all that this is really about. If a few doctors and nurses get blown up, that's just collateral damage, quite literally. But anyway, what we do know about the individual is it's Catherine Levy, a 37-year-old, who called in this threat saying there's a bomb on the way to the hospital, you better evacuate everybody, you sickos. So yeah, you get the idea of who she is. Anyway, we don't know a lot about this individual, but there is a woman with the same name in Westfield, Massachusetts, who donated to former President Donald Trump's 2020 campaign and the Republican National Committee nearly 150 times over the course of the summer and fall of 2020, amounting to a few thousand dollars. 150 political donations is a lot for a lifetime, I think. And there's an individual. It might not be the same person, or it might obviously be the exact same person. Anyway, it looks like it is what it was. An individual actually did that. They thought the doctors and nurses were sickos who are butchering children, and that's why they decided to do this bomb scare.
This is the party that is supposedly pro-life, that is supposedly against harming children, that believes that there's some sort of, right, pedophile ring that the Democrats run. And now they're calling in bomb threats to a hospital, a children's hospital, where children are, not just nurses and doctors, children undergoing treatment for cancer, for, you know, pediatrics, anything. They're just going for a checkup. This is literally full of children, but it does not matter. It does not matter to them because transgender people, like, that's it. Because groomers, I mean, honestly, we're seeing between the anti-trans hate and the anti-abortion legislation that's coming down a very terrifying, I mean, God, as if this medical system in this country couldn't get any more terrifying.
Yeah.
We're seeing an extreme politicization of it. And now it's not only affecting people with uteruses, it's affecting kids. It's affecting all kinds of doctors and nurses who, by the way, are emerging from a pandemic or sort of trying to emerge. I mean, it's done if you ask Joe Biden. Emerging from a pandemic where they have been run roughshod over, have not been given more resources, and don't necessarily have preparation for the next pandemic, to say nothing of crazies like this. So I'm totally disgusted by all that. But also, I love how Matt Walsh and other people on the right, like, have no idea that, like, you guys know that y'all do political violence all the time.
Yep.
That, like, the imagining someone actually bombing this hospital is totally within purview of what you guys spew and spout every single day.
Yeah. Like, the only thing that seems more likely is them wanting to use an AR-15 to do it, because that's a part of the fantasy, I suppose. But yeah, right. And it'll continue, because until they get bored with this, they can keep doing this all day, because it's all made up. They look on Google Maps, they choose a hospital, they say they're butchering kids, and then that's it. And then they send people at them. And then they find, oh, here's a, let's look up, okay, second grade, and this, okay, here's a teacher. This teacher is trying to groom your kids. They just pluck individuals and buildings out of anonymity and then lift them up and say, everyone hate this. It's the 2-minute hate from 1984. That's all it is. And if it gets people killed, it gets people killed. That's all it is. And we'll also remind you, we were talking about QAnon before. That's all this is. Now, Matt Walsh doesn't say when we go all to close his show, but he is specifically appealing to QAnoners. Everyone in the right now agrees, whether they put a Q on their shirt or not, yeah, the Democrats are all satanic pedophiles. They're all eating and sleeping with children, and we need to save the children. So They've, for some of them, they've stripped the label off, but it's just QAnon. And that is the motivating factor for basically all right-wing thought these days. Now, that said, we do have to move to our last topic because we're running low on time. I want to read just a couple comments. Smiling Dragon in a super chat says, hi, happy Fantastic Monday. I bought a Cheeto t-shirt and painted a jail cell around it this morning. Can't wait for the paint to dry. Jeez. Luck Dragon says, FYI, 8 of the 10 states with the highest murder rates in 2020 voted for the Republican presidential nominee in every election this century. Fun. Anyway. Okay, let's see. Kristen Kish, I'm assuming that's a different Kristen Kish and not the famous chef, but says, I got a Gov scholarship to Germany and I had to meet Gov officials. I asked Fred Upton why we don't use wind like Germany. He said, because it kills birds. I think the birds are going to be fine. Let's save the birds by stopping the pollution and also stopping cats. I think we give them a pass on the many birds that they kill. Cats are a menace and they need to be stopped. I've never seen my dog kill a bird. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, with that said, okay, we are going to jump to our last topic. It's nothing but fun. Let's roll this video.
Hey, we're in Houston. I thought we were going to Cancun.
Senator, thank you for everything you've done since Uvalde. Thank you for everything you've done since Uvalde. All those podcast episodes must have raised a lot of money for you.
Just yesterday, I tried to pass the most significant school safety bill that's ever passed.
Why did you vote against the
government? Your party objected to it.
You tried to pass it? What work were you doing? How did you have time when you were recording your podcast episodes?
You should ask why the Democrats objected to doubling the number
of
police officers.
You should ask why you don't know how to do your job without referring to other politicians.
15,000 new mental health.
You should fix your tie too, your collar.
Well, listen to the man.
Let's let him fly in peace.
I'm fine. when children can get buried in peace. And we
do you know the facts at all, or are you just going to engage with
them? No, I know the facts. Do you know any of the names of the Uvalde victims?
I do. And ask why Chris Murphy objected and stopped the biggest school safety building that
so
ever
passed. So you didn't list any other names, but you again.
But you don't know. You don't care about the facts. You're a partisan. That's okay.
You're not a partisan.
So, look, that was amazing. I'm sure annoying for Ted Cruz, but amazing. Like, Ted Cruz knows what he's done and what he hasn't done. He knows what he knows and what he doesn't know. When you're asked to name one of the victims, and by the way, it's not the first time he's been asked that. He's been asked that multiple times, and he apparently has cared so little that even after being asked, he hasn't gone and actually learned one of the names. He could have said it if he knew it. He chose not to. Instead, Francesca, he focused on his school safety bill or whatever, which we'll get into that. I love when the guy points out that his, like, tie's askew, he starts to fix it. In that case, you can't fix it, man. You can't give the other guy that win. But he did. Anyway, what do you make of that?
Oh, I just love it because it's how he is on Twitter. It's like, own me, please, own me. Okay, I'll fix my tie. And no, and the guy was great. And, like, I do think that bringing up the podcast is kind of relevant. Like, I'm sorry, but that's not what senators should be doing. That's not how they should spend their time. That's what we do. That's what we do. Like, no, you that's Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's like, this is not a branding exercise. You're supposed to legislate.
Yeah. Yeah, and look, if they were legislating, then doing it might be fine. Like, they could use the podcast to publicize the legislation they're doing, the meeting they're doing, you know, like, or organizing labor act, like, like, you could do it for that. They don't. They just do the podcast. Him, he does it with Michael Knowles, and, you know, Marjorie Greene's got her own or whatever. That's all they do. And if you were actually solving the problems, I would be, like, sympathetic. But when you say in response to, you know, what have you done since Uvalde? And he's like, well, I'm going to do a school safety bill or whatever. Like, so literally put more people with guns in the schools. Okay.
Yeah, we all know what was in that bill. Anyway, just to
say. Here's what's not in the bill, most importantly. Okay. Anything that's going to stop an out-of-control 19-year-old from buying an AR-15 and showing up at the school. He doesn't care about that. He's not going to do anything to stop that. They will literally never do anything to even marginally reduce the chance that a person can get a weapon of war and go to the school. The best you can hope is that maybe there will be someone else with a gun, or maybe we'll have a bulletproof backpack or something, but that person is getting to the school with a gun as long as people like Ted Cruz are in charge. You can bet your life on that. Anyway, there was more of him looking ridiculous. I want to get to the AOC tweet. That's going to have to wait for tomorrow. We are unfortunately out of time. Francesca, as always, thank you for joining us. And where can people watch you next?
You can watch me at Franny Fio on YouTube or Twitch for the Bituation Room, which is tomorrow, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, or listen back on any podcast platforms. We're going to talk about the massive registration of female voters coming out. What does it mean? Let's look at the stats. You know, nice. I'm not good with polls, but my guess exactly. is. So
nice. Everyone check that out. And hopefully your segment from this weekend on MSNBC will be posted soon. We can take a look at that too.
Yeah.
For now, though, we are going to run and record our top 10 list. We do it every Monday for Tier 2 and Tier 3 members on YouTube. This week, we're going to be talking. It's a little somewhat lighthearted, maybe. List of the top 10 things we would each like our gender to stop doing. That would be nice. So we'll have that for our members a little bit later on. Nina Turner is going to be joining Rashad Ritchie coming up on Indisputable in just a sec. But for now, stay safe out there, stay sane out there, and I'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.